What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 428th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective. I'm your host, SBJ. Here with me is Will.
For some reason, I've been playing really old games.
Gardenscapes?
That's not an old game. That's a current game. I was playing Katamari Damacy last night, failed to roll up the moon. Personal shame. But I've been playing a lot of Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate because even before they announced Rise, I've been playing that a lot. So it's weird, but I'm super psyched for Rise.
And you didn't like World, right?
Heck no. That's a garbage game.
Oh my gosh. Greg is here.
Hello. I am also playing an older game right now as well. I'm playing Shining Force because I found out Shining Force and Shining Force 2 were available in the App Store. And so I downloaded them and I'm reliving many, many, many years ago.
I don't know where. We have some dumb news this week. I don't know where to start.
Okay, start with what new set has new Charizard in it. Go there. All right.
We'll start with the TCG. Champion's Path is out.
I heard that was a good set.
Launched on September 25th, just this past Friday. It has the Elite Trainer Box, if you can find it. Okay, so this is a weird set. This is probably the fourth time we've talked about this. It's releasing twice. So it released September, and I think the second release is like November 11th or 17th or something. Probably the week the DLC comes out, because they like to line this all up. But the second release, we know for sure, has like a Piers set, where it's like a bigger box. I think it's like four or five booster packs. Promo Obstagoon. That's not out yet. But what is out is four things. There's the Dubwool V-Box. Obviously, Dubwool and Hop are on it. And there's the Motostoke Gym, the Hilbert Gym, or whatever, the Hillberry, that's Nessa's, and then the Grassy Glide Gym, whatever Milo's town is. Can't remember that town. So Grass Water, Fire sets are out. Dubwool set is out, and then the Elite Trainer box is out. The ETB, we call it in the biz.
In the biz?
They certainly did make those Galarian town names really hard to remember.
Yeah. Motostoke, Hillberry, and...
Which one are we talking about? Milo's?
Milo's.
Oh, it begins with a T, doesn't it?
Turffield. Okay, so Elite Trainer boxes are normally $40 and come with 8 booster packs. These holiday ones, Hidden Fates, Dragons Exalted, Shining Legends, they're $50, so they're $10 more, but they come with 2 extra booster packs. So if you can find a Charizard, Charizard's in the cover. If you can find an ETB of Champion's Path, I would recommend buying it, even if you're not interested, because they're very hard to find right now. And you could probably just sell it for twice the price to a friend, because that's the situation we're in. But you get 10 TCG cards, the full art promo featuring Charizard V, 65 card sleeves, 45 TCG cards, rulebook, damage dice, coin flip, acrylic markers, blah, blah, blah. I opened up an ETB. It's on YouTube, youtube.com/pkmncast if you want to see my polls. Opened up all 10 packs. The best card you can get in the ETB is a shiny Charizard, and I believe it's going for about $900 now. The last week before the ETBs came out, they were selling for $2,000. There was multiple bids on a couple $2,000 ones. I think that's all out of the system now, but still, Shiny Charizard, as of this recording, is going for about $900. The second best card...
I thought it was going for a lot more than that. Did it drop in price?
It did drop, yeah. It might it'll go back up in price once people realize they can't find these packs anymore. So it's dropped. I'm sure we'll go back up. The second best card in the set is also Charizard. Number one best card, Charizard. Number two best card, Charizard. And I believe that Charizard's going for about $200 as of this recording. So you can either try your luck of buying an ETB and opening the packs and hopefully getting one of the two Charizards, or keep it sealed. And then sell it, and then let them open it and realize there's no Charizard in it. Those are your two options.
In the history of the TCG, has it been that there's been a card that's worth like $500 and an unopened pack goes for more than that?
There's not a single pack that will go more than a card for the most part.
Okay.
The most expensive pack right now, well, besides like Gen 1, I think like a, if you want like a base set jungle, somebody who doesn't hasn't played TCG in a real long time, their ears probably perked up because they heard jungle. I think a base set jungle pack goes for like $40. More recently, though, Hidden Fates, which has, you know, a bunch of shiny Mewtwo, shiny Charizard, all that stuff. I think a Hidden Fates pack goes for about $20, and that pack came out last year. I think the Charizard from that set is close to $700. Hidden Fates Charizard, I think, is $700. People like Charizard.
This is true. This is not a lie.
As much as people are like, I'm so sick of Charizard, you are in the minority. We hear you.
I mean,
but the rest of the world likes Charizard.
I'm pretty sick of Charizard. Pretty tired of Charizard.
I think it's fine.
It's fine. I am way more into Pokemon Masters Venusaur with Sigma Suit Leaf.
Yeah, she's cool.
That combo of Janine and Leaf poisoning and dropping their stats is my jam right now.
Last bit of TCG news is also on September 25th, Galarian Sirfetch came out. TCG box. Sorry. That is one promo card featuring Galarian Sirfetch V, one oversized promo card, four TCG booster packs. We have, I believe, two Darkness Ablazes in here, a base set Sword and Shield, and because they will never in the next, they will never, they will continue to have XY evolutions even never after I die. Out. They will never run out of XY evolutions. They have plenty of them. If you get an XY evolutions, let me tell you, the best card in that set, Charizard.
Wow. Okay, does the Sirfetch'd come with a Sirfetch'd pin?
No pin. This is not a pin collection.
Does it come with a Sirfetch'd token thing?
No coin.
What?
It's...
Why buy this thing?
You want the oversized Sirfetch'd card.
But you can't use it.
I mean, technically you can.
What's that big card sticking out of your deck? Pay no mind to the giant card. I'm shuffling here. I mean, what do you even do with those? They're just for display, right? Like, you cannot use them in game.
Yeah, they're just display. They're just collecting.
Dust.
I don't...
Yeah. I mean, they don't fit into your binder because they keep making them different sizes.
I think we had a couple parents write in and just they just said their kids just love the oversized cards. I don't get it.
I mean, I like oversized cards in certain settings, but, like, not in a TCG thing unless it's a commander that I can be like, here's my giant commander.
Yeah, nothing like that.
Boo.
All right, we have more Pokemon news, but we actually have a bunch of non-Pokemon news this week that is related to Pokemon in a way. Obviously, I think if there's Switch or 3DS news, I feel like the consoles you play Pokemon on are probably newsworthy for this show. So we'll circle back to Pokemon news. We'll start with this article off Eurogamer here. Nintendo 3DS officially discontinued.
What does that even mean?
It means the assembly line for it has shut down.
Oh. But what if I need, like, spare parts?
I'm sure this store.nintendo. Wait, hold on, back up. What part are you buying for your 3DS?
Like if the back cover where the covers the battery gets a scratch in it and I want a fresh one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure store.nintendo.com is still selling replacement parts. Like if you lost your stylus.
I will say there are many wonderful things about the 3DS experience that have not been carried forward to the Switch and that I do miss. Well, Street Pass.
What I got here.
I miss Street Pass.
Is after a nine. Well, Street Pass would have been useless this year, I'll tell you that much.
Look, we cannot use this year as a basis for anything.
Exactly.
Everything was useless this year. This year is a wash. It's like saying, well, I never saw my friends, so friendship was useless in 2020.
You make a valid argument.
You know, I can't. I'm going to move on from that. After a nine-year run, more than 75 million units sold, the Nintendo has killed off the 3DS. Production has now ceased on all 3DS hardware models, including the new 3DS and the new Nintendo 2DS XL. Quote, we can confirm that manufacturing of the Nintendo 3DS family of systems have ended, a Nintendo spokesperson told our sister site GameIndustry.biz. Nintendo and third-party games for the Nintendo 3DS of systems will continue to be available on the eShop, Nintendo.com, and retail.
I just had a horrible realization. This means that that really beautiful gold Xerneas 3DS from Pokemon X and Y will never be produced for the U.S. market.
It is never coming.
I've been holding out hope for so long.
Look, as we're all avid Target shoppers, the writing's been on the wall for, what, over 2 years when you look at the 3DS section and it's just like an end cap with Pokemon, Mario, Animal Crossing, and that's it?
Yeah.
I can't even, maybe Yo-Kai Watch? Maybe like the two copies of Yo-Kai Watch that have been sitting there for 2 years that no one's bought yet?
Yeah.
The existing library of more than 1,000 Nintendo 3DS games contain many critically acclaimed titles that can provide years of content to explore and enjoy. There is no expectation that the 3DS eShop or online services will be effective in the near future, which is probably the most important part here. People are wondering if they can still Street Pass, PSS, Wonder Trade, etc. Last year, we saw the arrival of the Nintendo Switch Lite. Switch numbers are doing well. 3DS was launched in Japan back in February of 2011. So it'd be 10 years old in a couple months here. Europe 1 month later. The long-awaited follow-up to the Nintendo 3DS. Oh, this is just explains that it did the 3D and the blah, 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 blah. We know what the 3DS did. So yep. The Wii U was killed off pretty quickly. They ceased production of the Wii U relatively fast, and it's been over 2 years since they've produced a single Wii U, maybe even more than 2 years, and their eShop and their online services are still up and running, if I'm not mistaken. You can still play Smash Brothers online, Pokken Tournament online. I'm almost positive you can still buy Mystery Dungeon, which is one of the virtual console games on the Wii U.
I haven't turned my Wii U on in, I don't know what, 4 years? So, sure.
Yeah, it's been a while for me too, but I still
have it. It's still plugged in. I should probably unplug it from my whole mess
that's
up.
That's true.
Move it upstairs.
I have Bayonetta 1 and Bayonetta 2 on the Wii U. And it's like, I kind of want to play those, but also,
are they not out on Switch?
I don't want to buy them again.
Oh, well, that
but convenience.
Look, I've got Katamari Damacy used to play and Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate to play. I don't need other games.
Yeah, I know. What's probably the weirdest thing for anyone listening to the show would be, no, I guess it doesn't matter that much. I was going to say, what happens with Pokemon Bank? Because that would still need some sort of online. I guess that's probably not dependent on Nintendo servers, right? They would just have to keep the server running for Bank specifically?
Yeah. I think that's it's separate.
Yeah, I would imagine it's separate.
Because, like, the web browser on the 3DS won't stop working. Netflix on the 3DS won't stop working.
Is Netflix on the 3DS? There was some video streaming service.
Maybe?
Yeah, Netflix was on the 3DS. I'm pretty sure it was. I mean, I downloaded it, then realized why. I only play my 3DS at home. Where I will have Netflix on the big TV and the 3DS in my hand.
Yeah, so you even in like Diamond Pearl, Black and White, you can still trade locally. You can still battle locally. You just can't jump on. Look, before somebody writes in being like, there's a server I can, yeah, sure. I'm sure that works. I'm not doubting it, but the official Nintendo servers are down for those, so you can't Wonder Trade, GTS Trade, you know, go online and try to find a Japanese Ditto so you can Masuda breed in Gen 4. But I am sure there's there are workarounds. And there will be workarounds when the 3DS online goes off. I just don't think it's going to be... I think if they're going to keep the Wii U stuff open, 3DS is more than safe. I think we're okay there. I don't see it shutting down in the next year or 2 years, honestly, personally.
Yeah, probably not. But 3 years, all bets are off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
3 years is a real long time for them to keep something up on a thing that hasn't been in production.
We get a lot of news that came off September 25th. Here's some more news. This was very, very recent. This is off GameSpot. Nintendo's Switch successor will arrive before 2100.
What?
What?
Nintendo confirms it is working on new hardware, but we only have the widest window for when it may be released.
What is this? What is this article?
Well, I'll read it to you. This should surprise no one, but Nintendo is not going to exit the hardware business anytime soon. As part of the company's latest corporate management briefing, the firm revealed they are working on new hardware, and it will be released before the end of the century. Nintendo confirms that the Nintendo's next gaming system will launch sometime in 20XX. That is what they said during the management briefing. They said it will release 20XX. Realistically, whenever the system ends up being, it will surely release long before the end of the century. Nintendo is not committed to any dates.
We are scraping for news.
That is literally the worst news article I've ever
heard. No.
Look, we've had bad news articles here. We read bad news. We cover bad news.
And this is a bad one. This is up there.
This is a good one in the sense that Nintendo, as of 2 days ago in a meeting, said they are working on new hardware.
But this is obvious. They're always working on new hardware until they say... The only thing that is newsworthy is Nintendo saying, hey, we're not going to do hardware anymore.
That's probably
otherwise,
true.
Just assume that we're doing hardware, because that's our stick.
They announced Pokemon Sleep a year ago, and that's not a thing. I mean, here's a news thing for you. Lakes announced, we're still wet. We are working on still being wet.
I don't know. I was over at Cedar Lake this morning. It wasn't too...
Yeah.
That was more of a moist...
The news story is, lakes are suddenly no longer wet. That's when we start getting concerned. Not, hey, lakes are wet. Still are confirming that they're going to be wet.
Well, there is the rumor. There was the rumor from Wall Street Journal that Nintendo was working on a Switch Lite and a Switch Pro. That rumor came out at the same time. Like, what I'm saying is the Wall Street Journal reported both of those products in the same reporting. One came true, but the Wall Street Journal also, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, I don't have it in front of me, this was obviously before the Switch Lite arrived, they said that they wanted to release the Switch Lite first for holiday and the Switch Pro would come later. So if we're putting some tinfoil hats on, the Switch Pro is still the thing they're probably working on, right? I mean, they upgraded the Game Boy to the Game Boy Pocket. They upgraded the Nintendo Game Boy Advance to the SP.
Game Boy Pocket.
Game Boy to Game Boy Pocket was an upgrade, right? Same system, just smaller.
It was just a slim down.
Yeah, but it's still an upgrade. Used batteries faster. Game Boy Color.
Game Boy Color is an upgrade, I'll give you that. Game Boy Advance is an upgrade. I'm not sure Game Boy Pocket. I mean, I suppose if we're going to... I don't consider Switch Lite an upgrade, because they made it smaller and took the controllers off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lateral.
I suppose. Okay. Nintendo DS to the DS Lite. I guess that's not... I would say it's an upgrade because the battery life was better. And you're not losing any features in the DS Lite. It's smaller.
No, yeah, the DS Lite was a much better system, actually.
The DS Lite was much better.
Then the DS...
Did they fix the screen light problem? Like, it was a little bit brighter and didn't eat your battery at an atrocious rate?
Yeah, the battery was better, and then the screen was better. But the hinge was bad, because the hinges would crack.
look, they had to cut somewhere. They're going to cut on your hinges.
So then that was the DS to the DS Lite to the DSi, which was an upgrade because that was a processor upgrade. And then the DSi XL. And then we had the 3DS to the new 3DS. So that was a processor upgrade. So I don't see why we wouldn't get like the Switch Pro and get the processor upgrade. I mean, they don't really need to move on from the Switch. It's doing pretty well. It's doing really well. I think a Switch Pro is still probably in the cards.
We'll end up buying it if it comes out.
Yep.
Because we're fools.
Well, if it's an actual upgrade, it depends on how big of an upgrade it is. Also depends if there's a Pokemon Special Edition of it. Because much like all the other upgrades, I didn't buy it until there was an actual special version. Because usually the upgrades aren't worth it.
I don't regret upgrading to a new 3DS. I don't think I saw a benefit from it, but I don't think I regret it.
I mean, I don't regret it.
The benefit
was
you got to play the games that only played on the new 3DS.
Yeah.
What? I don't think I played any of those games. Xenoblade was one of them, right?
I don't remember.
There was only
Monster Hunter Generations.
Yeah.
I think you could play that on both. I just think it ran garbage on the original one.
Well, there
I was very happy holding off until I got my Pokemon Special version. And then I bought it. I didn't need to get it right away because just the upgrades were not worth buying another $400 console.
I can't remember like how many 3DSs I bought, but I think it's like ultimately like of all types of 3DS, probably 4 or 5.
Hmm. Oh, I know I have 4 3DSs somewhere in this house.
Oh gosh, I see 4 3DSs on my... No, I see 3 3DSs on my desk and 1 DS, which is a pink one from GameStop that I ordered a white one and they sent me a pink one, but it's an okay pink, so...
And the pink was good.
No, yeah,
it's
a good
pink. My pink DS got used so bad that the hinge finally broke and I was like, well, it's actually the end of this console and I've been on the 3DS for a while, so not going to get this fixed.
We'll get back to Pokemon news. We got I think this might be the worst. This might be the worst news article of the show, but we got to take a break.
Why?
And we'll be right back.
We can skip it.
Stop going to Sam's Club. Stop buying the 4-gallon tub of peanut butter.
Okay, but Sam's Club has some really good deals.
Stop going to Sam's Club.
The 18 pounds of cream cheese is on sale.
Somehow, I got 2 dogs that need pills.
You can't eat 18 pounds of cream cheese before they expire. The 18 pounds of cream cheese is on sale. The 18 pounds of cream cheese is on sale. Cheese is on sale. Cheese is on sale.
We are back. The suspense. All right, this was sent in by Andy from our
Nobody
Slack.
Was in suspense.
I know what this is. I'm already angry.
No fault to Andy. Not Andy's fault. Andy is just the messenger here.
It doesn't matter.
And Andy gets into trouble a lot.
Yeah,
so
I'm surprised that this wasn't typoed. B, Andy, come on.
This is off my Nintendo News. I really only just have to read the headline. Because there is no content to follow. Nintendo has applied for Pokemon Heart Gold and Pokemon Soul Silver trademarks.
Oh, well, remakes confirmed.
The article's literally 2 paragraphs. It's at most 10 sentences.
I am sure there are people that are jumping for joy. They're like, yes, this is the moment. But do you think there's like somebody over at Game Freak and they're like, hey, Frank, we got some trademarks expiring. What do we got on the docket? It's just a bunch of Pokemon stuff. Yeah, let's not renew them. I don't think that series is doing well. Let's just let them expire. We don't want to waste the $50 to renew the trade. Like, that conversation didn't happen.
Right.
Because, like, Why would the Pokemon... I can't even think of anything the Pokemon Company at this point would let expire. Maybe Pokemon Duel? Maybe the Pokemon Duel trademark comes up?
Yeah, they might like Duel Go. No, but there's multiple Duel games. They're not going to let that go.
Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, it's like if you have owned anything on GoDaddy and you have like you own like bigbootysquirrel.com.
Why would like, you own that?
Don't you dare yuck my yum.
You're like I don't plan on doing anything with this, but if there's the smallest chance you're like, man, Big Booty Squirrel might have it. Not this year, not next year, but in the next 5 years, I'm going to make some. Then you just renew it. You just pay GoDaddy the $11.99 and you just renew it and you forget about it for a year. There's like no way they would ever let these trademarks expire. It's not really news. I don't know why I went with that domain. I don't know why that was the first thing that came to mind. I don't think there's any news here.
But I mean, is this, did it say renewed the trademark or did it say trademarked it for the first time?
No, it renewed it.
But that's even worse.
And so the trademark does cover other things besides the video games, right? It would also cover like the anime, any merchandise. It would cover
any publication, any promotion, any,
right.
Yes.
Any of the TCG cards. So if they ever wanted to reprint, you know, Dauntless or whatever. Unleashed, whatever TCG stuff, the trademark would apply to that too. So, what? I don't even know what trademark law in Japan is. Is it like every 20 years, 10 years?
I'm not a Japanese lawyer.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure when they have to renew those.
And then, of course, it would like if international trademark law would apply. So, that's a whole other kettle of fish, can of worms.
Pokemon Cafe Mix.
That's a game that I've played once or twice.
Join other players to recruit Snorlax with this cafe is getting really booked here. They got Torterra up in there. Now they got a Snorlax.
Well, you expand and there's like people can sit outside too, okay. Right? For like social distancing.
A new way to they added the co-op stuff too. That's actually probably the better news. A new way to cooperatively recruit staff has arrived in Cafe Mix. This team function lets you form a team separate from your friends list up to 30 people. Together, you and your teammates can take on challenges. Greg, do we get back into this? Is this our new Clash Royale?
I'm back.
Do we get team? When are we going to war? When are war days?
Oh yeah, if you guys, I'll join your guild in Cafe Mix.
Let's, because it might get me back into Cafe Mix.
I think somebody made a Pokemon cast one.
Really?
I can't. Whoever made?
Yeah, because you're not protecting your trademark.
That's true. I'm not. Whoever made the PKMN cast Cafe Mix thing, as long as you didn't capitalize the C and you spelled it correctly. You let me know once again.
Yeah.
And we can fill that up. I'm sure there are 30 people who listen to the show that play that game. You can create your own team that costs 300 golden acorns.
Wow.
When you create a team... Oh, I don't have any acorns. You become the team captain. This is a lot like Clash Royale. You need, 300 gems to start a team in Clash Royale?
I think so.
You can form a team with your existing friends. This is a great way to branch out, become friends with other players. You can always join an existing team. You can search for their team name or team ID. You can choose a team from randomly generated lists. No matter what method you choose, you and your new teammates will combine efforts. Cool new bonuses to celebrate Cafe Mix. Players who start their team can pick up a nice limited bonus. For every team member you recruit, you will earn 300 golden acorns. Ooh.
Wow.
That's pretty good. In addition, the shop has a special team order pack you can purchase with real-world money. The pack will contain Snorlax Manic Pikachu. This Pikachu is wearing a special uniform based on Snorlax. In addition to Pikachu joining your staff, this pack will also include 13,000 golden acorns and a variety of items. Snorlax will be available between September 24th through October 8th. You can raise Snorlax's satisfaction level by serving it tasty dishes and convincing it to join. Snorlax's cafe skills can clear Pokemon icons and gimmicks below.
I mean, I logged in and I just got 1,500 acorns, so...
I don't think I ever got past the tutorial. I was so excited for Cafe Mix.
I mean, I will admit, I have not played this in a long time.
And then...
My phone uninstalled it.
Well, Cafe Mix came out the same day Isle of Armor came out, right?
Yeah,
or the day after. Look, between Masters and Pokemon Go, and Pokemon wants a lot of my attention.
Yeah. Okay, where do you look for teams in this? God, stop talking to me, Leah.
Oh, yeah, I remember why I stopped playing this game. Horizontal.
Oh, we are not having this conversation.
Oh, that's why. I forgot it was horizontal. I remember why.
Search. Search by team name. PKMN. 12 out of 30 members spelled capital P, capital K, capital M, capital N, capital C.
I can't join.
ASD.
I can't join. I need lowercase C. Gotta spell the brand right. That's the fake brand. Maybe they could, I don't know if they can like not change the name afterwards.
I don't know. Are you saying you're going to start a rival brand?
Well, the real brand is lowercase C-A-S-T. I have to protect my brand, Greg, at all costs.
Well, yes.
Yes. I'm sad you can't let that go.
I can't. I can't
I've
let the capital
I've also said that you
C.
can't let it go that it's horizontal, because that is just...
Horizontal games are the worst. I don't want to turn my phone.
It's not even a
hardship.
No,
I'm not going down this trail again, this trail of madness. No,
no, no. Don't make me bust out the email inbox of all the people who agreed with me.
Of all the people. There are 7.8 billion people and 4 agreed with you. That's a 0.000001%.
I don't see any issues here. Speaking of more mobile games, this PokemonGoLive.com, big October stuff happening here. October research breakthrough will be Sheninja. Sheninja coming back.
Sheninja.
Sheninja.
Sheninja. There's a D in there.
There is. Legendary raid rotation. Articuno just left us before this recording. Zapdos is now available currently. And then starting on October 2nd, Moltres will appear for a week. And then for 2 weeks after Moltres, from October 9th through October 23rd, Origin Form Giratina, that's the one that looks like the worm, will be available. And this will be the first time it will be shiny. What's the other form called? Origin Form and Dauntless? I don't know.
No. Origin and I want to say, because it's Distortion World.
Yeah. Isn't it
Normal Form? No.
Isn't it just Giratina?
No, I think it has a form name.
Why with the hard questions?
Is it Altered Form?
Altered Form.
Altered Form and Origin Form.
This is the first time that Origin Form, again, the one that looks like the worm, will be able to be shiny. Although I think the Altered Form is better for like PvP, but I'm sure if you like PvP in Pokemon Go, first off, I'm sorry. Second off, well, look, PvP would be fine if Niantic can fix it. And every time they seem to fix it, another issue seems to pop up. But
I don't even know. I just play it so little, I don't even know what's currently wrong with it. I just don't enjoy it.
I don't remember the current. It's very hard to keep up with what's actually broken. If you do play PvP, you already know this. I'm pretty sure the Altered Form is better than Origin Form in PvP. I could be wrong on that. We don't know what's happening after October 23rd. I don't know.
Something spooky.
I'm going to say Darkrai. That's my guess. Why not, I guess. Yeah, but we don't know what's happening over Halloween. The spotlight hours are a changing. Every Tuesday from 6 p.m., 1 hour spotlight bonus. First will be World Cap Pikachu in spotlight.
Which one's World Cap Pikachu?
World Cap is the one from Journeys. So this is a brand new Pikachu.
Oh.
It's a brand new world we live in.
That ain't even the right song.
Yeah, no, that's not how it goes.
So that's October 6th. On October 23rd will be Origin Cap Pikachu. That is the original Ash hat, the triangle symbol, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That one can be shiny. And then we have Tuesday, October 20th, which is Shuppet. And then Tuesday, October 27th, which is Duskull. And then the bonuses here is with the world cap, you get double the XP for catching. The origin cap, you get twice as many candy. The Shuppet, you will get double transfer candy. That's a very good one. Even if you don't care about getting Shuppet, good time to transfer all your Pokemon. And then Duskull is twice XP for evolving. So these are every Tuesday. They're an hour long. I'm going to probably say that the world cap Pikachu probably won't be shiny because they didn't specifically say. There's only one Pokemon they've turned shinies off for, and that was Meltan that I remember. That wasn't an accident. I know they've accidentally turned off shinies. But original cat Pikachu can be shiny, so they don't have to state that. They usually don't state, when a Pokemon is already shiny that it can be shiny again. But normally when they introduce a new Pokemon and they don't state that it's shiny, then it's not shiny. So I'm assuming the world cat Pikachu won't be shiny. But it's its first time, and you know Niantic. You gotta release it the first time, then release it the second time with the exclusive move, and then release it the third time as shiny, and then release it the fourth time shiny with the exclusive move.
Extend the life of our product.
There are very vocal people that don't like the hats. That's fine.
They're boring.
It's something to collect. Period. End of sentence.
There is no more to that sentence. It is something to collect.
I think that I like the hats. I'm not super upset. I think probably the probability of the argument is the hats take up other spawns. I'm assuming is why they would be upset. It's like, oh, it's sure. A hat Pikachu and it's not a execute.
All I have is a huge sigh. I just... We have limited design space for spawns, and now you're just throwing in another hat, mouse.
And we still don't have all the ones that are missing.
Kecleon? I don't want to hear about no Kecleon.
Why? It's still missing.
Kecleon and World Cap Pikachu probably have the same pedestal. You catch one of them, you complete your deck, so you'll never use it for anything again.
Yep. Give me my Kecleon.
And then Kecleon will go back to being forgotten about forever. Just like Smeargle is. It's the last time somebody booted up their phone to take a picture to get Smeargle to appear. October limited research will be Alolan Meowth. On Saturday, October 10th, from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., you'll be able to complete exclusive field research to encounter Meowth from the Kanto, Alola, and Galar regions. And there will be limited exclusive time to research. Check the shop for available incense, pinup berries, and lucky eggs. So this is just a Saturday event where you just, I guess, yeah. Yeah, just Saturday for almost... Over 10 hours. 12? Over 12 hours. 14 hours of Meowth. I could use some more Galar Meowths. I don't think I have enough. I think I'm a couple candies short from Berserker.
Oh, wait. Does it evolve?
Yeah. I don't see why it wouldn't.
I have egged so many of those things.
Oh, wait. I don't need... There's not, like, Galarian Meowth candy. I just use Meowth candy.
It's just Meowth candy.
Oh, I have... never mind. I have so much Meowth candy. We know two of those can be shiny. We know that Kanto and Alolan Meowth can be shiny. Don't know about Galar. Probably not. Again, they didn't state, so probably not. There's the fashion-themed event that will start on October 2nd through October 8th, which we should actually probably talk about. And then finally, October is has a lot more Halloween. You can expect new avatar, a new Halloween cup, which I don't think got delayed/canceled because the Flying Cup did. I don't think the Halloween one did yet. Probably will get canceled. There will also be an event celebrating Niantic's anniversary and the changing of seasons.
Ooh.
Does that mean Deerling?
Fortuitous. Mm. Or Swazbuck.
Or Deerling
or
and Swazbuck.
Be aware of your surroundings. Okay, so... I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into that. Or maybe seasons are... Seasons would apply Deerling, for sure.
Yeah, it's weird that they would call out changing of seasons and not have that be something.
Well, especially because they're in the Unova Pokemon right now.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm assuming we would start getting... We would start getting probably Kalos Pokemon early next year. So they kind of got to... Kind of got to push out the last, like, 14 that we're missing or whatever.
They haven't pushed out the last ones for everything. Kecleon.
Exactly.
Have a fun with Longchamp and Pokemon collaboration arriving soon. In celebration of accessories coming between the Pokemon Company and Longchamp.
What is Longchamp? Will?
Never heard of Longchamp? It. Never heard of it.
You are my fashion connection.
It is the non-American coach, I would say.
If I am your fashion connection, you really need to reevaluate your life choices. If it's not made by a skateboard company, it barely graces my skin. Oh, come on now.
You were all about the fashion masks, so...
Oh, that is true, but they don't fit very well.
Let's be real. You're far more into the fashion than I am.
Pretty sure I did the conversion right. I went to Longchamp's website. They did not have the Pokemon bags for sale, but they did have their own bags for sale, and they were 600 euros, which is the equivalent to $700 USD.
And also, being a French company, it's not Longchamp, it's Longchamp.
Vivian.
The Pokemon Company and Longchamp Paris at the beginning of the Paris Fashion Week. I think that sentence gives it away. Paris Fashion Week. I don't think like Forever 21 is showing up at like Paris Fashion Week, right? You're not getting like a $14 t-shirt.
Typically, the fashion weeks are individual designers, not...
Yeah.
We're proud to announce a new Avatar backpack accessory item available in Go. That's not all. Some fashionable Pokemon will be appearing in the wild, challenging trainers in raids and hatching from eggs. Again, this is from October 2nd to October 8th. Special Pokemon will be wearing costumes. We just talked about this. Smoochum will hatch from 7K eggs and will be wearing a bow. Curlia will be wearing a top hat and appearing in raids. It will also know the exclusive move Draining Kiss, which I guess it would lose if you were to evolve it, assuming you could. Shinx will be wearing a top hat and appearing in raids. Krogunk will be wearing a backwards cap and appear in Go Snapshot as a surprise encounter. They will rarely appear in the wild. I'm assuming with that sentence, Shinx and Curlia will not be appearing in the wild because they didn't state that. The following Pokemon appearing in the wild will be Mareep. I don't know why I said Mareep so funny. Skitty, Roselia, Krikatot, Krogunk wearing the backwards cap, which they just said in the sentence before, will rarely appear. Blitzel, Cottonee, Minccino, Gothita, and more. If you're lucky, trainers, you may encounter a shiny Krikatot. You can enjoy exclusive field research and dress up for Fashion Week in person and in-game. Be sure to head to the shop for a free Longchamp avatar item in Pokemon Go. Then match your trainer avatar by picking the same Longchamp item in store. No. Okay. For more information, please visit their website. Okay, so a couple things from this. I just searched Longchamp. They do sell Longchamp stuff at Nordstrom. It looks like a hand purse is like $145. About $145. They are going to sell like Pokemon purses. So it's not a deal between Niantic and Longchamp. It's a deal between the Pokemon Company and Longchamp. So the real question is, how much did Longchamp pay the Pokemon Company to get their items in game and to get an event? Like, but also, why would Longchamp, like, is there that big of a crossover between Pokemon Go players and purses or handbags? These are pretty expensive handbags.
It's under $1,000, we're not talking pretty expensive for a handbag, dude.
No, I mean, they're approaching high-end bag high-end bag prices, but
they're like
yes.
the same prices as like Coach, and I would say Coach is a step up from like, you know, just going to Target. Or
Coach bag for $125, you can fit like a quarter in it and it'll be
are you saying Coach bags are more? Well, look, I said there, I did Google search $125 for a handbag. I don't know how big that handbag is from Nordstrom. This could be last year's model. This bag is pretty big, actually. Oh, it's not leather, though. This is a cloth. This is, that's important.
Oh, yeah, that's,
there you go.
This is a cloth handbag for $145.
I mean, I'm looking at Coach right now, and a clutch is $375.
Oh, you gotta go to the Coach. You gotta go to the Coach outlet.
It's a coin purse, because a clutch is nothing. A clutch holds barely your basics.
So, yeah, the lowest price bag I can find on the Coach site is what they call a belt bag, what the rest of the world calls a fanny pack.
Yep.
For $122.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm on Longchamp's website.
Longchamp.
Longchamp.
We'll do men's business bags here, where I don't think any of us are in the department in the field for a hand purse.
So if we're gonna look at, like, let's say a backpack, let's look at a backpack. A plain old Longchamp backpack is $395. One of the fancy U-shaped ones that looks, you know, cute is $640.
Like, they've done fancy stuff before. The Pokemon Company has done fancy stuff before. They've done wedding rings. They've done, well, their wedding rings weren't exactly that fancy, but they have worked with like designer brands before.
Yeah.
This seems like one of the more expensive ones.
I mean, it's up there, but I mean, they make what? There's people out there who pay a lot of money for their Pokemon Go stuff.
Yeah, no, I don't doubt that people who have heard of Longchamp and who have, for us lonely streamers who barely make any money, $1,000 backpack out of the budget, right?
Yep.
Yes.
I don't even know if I've only seen a couple screenshots of the Pokemon stuff, and I only saw like purses. So I'm not in the department for a purse. So I don't know if they're making a Pokemon backpack, or I would want the Pokemon backpack, but I would also assume that would be anywhere between like $600 to $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't seem like Longchamp would have to advertise in Pokemon Go to move this merchandise. I mean, I can't even get a basic black briefcase off their website because it's sold out. So like, it doesn't seem like they have a problem selling their own merch to the very, like, to their audience. They probably know their audience very well and what they want to pay for and what they want to buy. So I don't know what they, like, I can't imagine that
think,
the Pokemon company.
I think
company,
you're overthinking it. One of them reached out to the other and said, hey, let's do a crossover.
Right.
And they were like, yeah, that's chill. Let's have some fun. And there you go. It's not about dollars and cents in this case.
I mean, here's the thing. If Longchamp wants to go into lower end products, or they want to get into other areas, these are great ways for them to get brand recognition. Like, even if you can't afford it now, let's say they want to release a low end line into Target or into other department stores like Macy's.
Nordstrom.
This builds more just general, oh, I've heard of them before. It also just makes them seem like, oh, this is fun. It gives Niantic something unique and special. It gives both at least name recognition between two separate audiences. It doesn't really matter what they sell, because both are going to sell to X amount of people who want to buy them. They are immediate high-end collector's items. Like, there was no reason for Pokemon to have a fossil watch. Yet there it was, and yet I bought it. Like, Fossil was selling just fine back in the day, but it just adds a unique thing that people can buy who already know that brand and like that brand, and spreads the word about that brand in a fun way.
I'm not saying Pokemon fans are cheap. I mean, they're going around buying $2,000 Charizards.
But I think you're also very focused on, like, the U.S. Pokemon Go player market. The Japanese Pokemon Go player market may be completely different.
Yes. Right? Yeah, no, that is true. Well, I mean, for this show, it makes sense for us to focus on the U.S. because I mean, I know how many people listen to Japan. It's not a lot. Our biggest audience.
Well, I'm just saying the Longchamp crossover might be oriented towards their Japanese audience, where, you know, fashion in Japan is X levels up above what we would normally put on our bodies.
Yeah, I mean, even if you had the money to afford these Pokemon bags whenever they arrive, I'm sure they will sell out very quickly. That I don't doubt. I mean, look at the 200. Those skateboards were $250.
They sold out instantly.
Yeah, they sold out. Like, if you did not if you were not waiting for the email of like, where they're in stock, like they were gone. And I don't know how many of each skateboard they had, but you saw the picture. They made a lot of them.
They made a lot of them. Or they photoshopped a lot of them in.
Guess who's getting one for Christmas?
Did you order one?
No. Oh. I'm not allowed to spend money on Tuesdays. I'm only allowed to mention things that come out on Tuesdays to other people who might want to spend money on me, and then they end up buying them.
Well, what did Greg get me?
Greg didn't get me nothing.
Both of you will find out. Hold your horses.
Greg
Jeez.
Was the one that bought all of the skateboards.
I have my skateboard eBay empire starting, so hold out. It was a big investment, but it's going to pay off like that ancient Mew.
Again, I don't mind hat Pokemon. I'll take hat Pokemon over Patrat.
What about Patrat wearing a hat?
Now we're in business. Checking eBay real quick for Charizard skateboards.
Well, don't give away my username.
Looks like $450, but no bids.
No, look for the Rayquaza one. Charizard wasn't in this drop.
Well, that's why I assumed the Charizard was the more sought after one.
There wasn't a Charizard in this drop, though.
It was the last drop, and they held on to it. They put it next to their ancient Mew, so it could appreciate in value.
All of mine are next to my Beanie Babies, my ancient Mew, and my Burger King Gold Mew. I am going to make bank.
Okay, the Rayquaza one sold. These are, I looked at, sold. Sold for $399, so $150 more than retail. The Togepi ones with 7 bids sold for $360. The Toxtricity one sold for $425. The Mew one, they're saying that there was 250 of each made in their eBay listing. Oh, yeah, because I'm pretty sure when you ordered it, you got a card saying which number you got. So that makes sense. So you would know that you got like 5 out of 250 or... So the Mew one sold for $525. That was what you should have bought. Not the Togepi.
I don't know which one I'm getting.
The Mew
it's
one.
Whichever one my mom managed to get.
See another Rayquaza here for $435 sold. Togepi for $350. Umbreon for $440. Mew for $450.
What was really impressive too was the order was made on Tuesday. My mom got it on Friday.
Wow.
Do you know what's sad is a lot of these eBay pictures have the same flooring and the same setup for the pictures, meaning the same person bought them and then immediately put them on eBay.
Quit calling me out. It wasn't me.
I think as long as your mom didn't get Togepi, you're probably in a good boat.
But I like Togepi.
Yeah, but what if you had?
But wait,
Mew?
What difference does it make? I'm gonna get a wall hanger. I'm gonna hang it on my wall.
That's true.
I'm not here to flip it.
Well.
Oh well, maybe kick flip it, but that's it.
But that's it. Just once. Just that once.
Yeah.
Each one is unique, according to Mr. Bear Walker.
How is that possible when they're produced?
Because they're handmade, aren't they?
I can't hand make what? There were 4 styles?
What?
5 times 250?
That's why it took him so long for drop 2. He had to go to the woods, chop down the tree.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. You want to believe that? You go right ahead.
Press the wood? Color in the Rayquaza? It was all that one man.
Create fine lacquer from the shells of beetles? Yes.
Hey, at least all these skateboards had free shipping. All right. Spencer sent in that there are new Halloween stuff on Pokemon Center. It's the stuff we talked about before. It's just finally stocked. So, shout out to the Squirbunny with the Nickit outfit, which is a reference to the anime. that's probably the only one to really mention there. Question of the week, though.
Yes.
Greg, it's all you.
It's the question of the week. Let's hear that question now. It's the question of the week, asked from the Attic channel in Slack.
I want to answer the question, but I don't know.
Well, can we hear the question? And
yeah.
Then we'll be able to also decide whether we want to answer or not.
I don't think any of us have enough knowledge. With all the issues going on with Tencent, do you think it'll affect Pokemon Unite? I don't know what issues are happening right now.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I guess I'll look into it for next week, because I don't know what's happening with Tencent. And I don't want to be like yes or no, because I don't know how drastic it is. But it's China, so it's probably very bad.
Well, let's see. Money.cnn.com has it as a headline. Tencent is having a tough year.
Mm-hmm. There's also a headline following TikTok. U.S. may now be targeting China's Tencent on security issues.
Tencent's pretty big, though.
Yeah.
Like, Tencent's like the Amazon of China, so I don't... Even if it's a bad year, it's going to take a lot to bring down Tencent.
This seems like a much more involved, like...
Question
about Tencent. Because, I mean, if it's hard to know because, like, right now it's rumors that they might be targeting them. So, like, we'll know in a little bit, and it's probably better to ask that question once that's settled or given a positive direction. But will it affect us getting Pokemon Unite, like, permanently? I doubt it.
Yeah, because Tencent's not the developer. They're just the publisher.
Yeah,
exactly. Like,
on time? No.
It was like another company that had a name that was hard to pronounce.
Brandon says, what in your opinions is the most overhyped Pokemon opinion or stance? For example, I think the too much water statement for Gen 3 is really overstated and used as a scapegoat argument against Gen 3.
I agree with that. It is way overstated.
There was way too much water.
It's 50-50. It's the entire thing of the game. It's half water, half land. That is the theme of the game.
And
you
I will tell you this.
Half on water and there's half on land.
In Unova, too many caves.
There are too many caves, period. Caves are not interesting. I think overhyped Pokemon opinion. I think the most overhyped Pokemon opinion is that Gen 2 is good.
I mean, Gen 2 is good. I think all Pokemon games are good.
Yes.
I don't think any main series Pokemon game is bad. I just don't think Gen 2 was like the pinnacle of Pokemon.
Yes.
Yeah. I think my overhyped opinion is new Pokemon games are too easy.
Yeah.
I think that is...
I agree with that one.
I think that I cannot stand that statement because... Gosh, I don't want this to be a huge rant.
don't get into the speed rant. Go to YouTube. The rant is on there.
Yeah. Oh,
somewhere.
I should make the first Pokemon game you play is always going to be the hardest, and that's not necessarily to even say that Pokemon's game is going to be hard if you understand like role playing games in general. So for example, like the first time I think a lot of people have this that are our age, like the first time you fight Brock and you use Scratch with your Charmander or something, you're like, oh, that didn't do any damage. I used Ember on Onyx. It didn't do any damage. Oh, I used Vine Whip on it. Like you learn throughout playing the game that which Pokemon are weak against what attacks. Like that is something you learn. And then once you get there, you cannot unlearn it.
That is true.
You can't.
I mean, you can, but
sure.
That's
yeah,
not
I guess
anything
theoretically
you
could
pursue.
But when you get to Blaine, at that point, I always use Blaine because he has the worst Pokemon ever. He has like a Ponyta, Arcanine, and a Rapidash. When you get to Blaine, you can't. You know at that point in the game, Fire type Pokemon are weak to Water, so you know that is what you should do.
And you literally had to surf like across two routes of water to get there.
So when people say like newer Pokemon games are easy, no, you've already learned at that point that fire is weak to water. And it's very hard to not remember that. I mean, like it's sometimes hard to remember like, oh, what's fairy weak to or what's fairy strong to. But the very basic cores of like water, fire, grass is what the game revolves around.
I mean, as an adult who came to the games, they were always easy.
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah. I mean, the level of difficulty has never changed. The amount of grinding you have to do has changed.
Right.
But grinding does not equal difficulty or fun.
So, like, when people are like, I want Pokemon games to be harder, I'm not 100% sure what they're asking for.
Because I mean, I know
even,
the idea
even
is...
if they increase the... Like, even if they balanced you off, let's say, like, you know, you're level 30, you walk into a gym, they bring you down to level 20, right. That gym leader is level 20, you still know that if I use a water-type move here, that is the best move, and I will knock them out. Like, you still know that.
Yeah.
And Ultra Necrozma, I think, is a really good example of that fight. You know, Ultra Necrozma, when you get to it, it is, for most players, not all, significantly overleveled. And it's significantly faster than pretty much every Pokemon. And it one-shots almost any Pokemon unless you have the information about it, right? So if you looked up what Ultra Necrozma's typing was, you would know what it resists and what is super effective against it. But if you went into, which you can do for any Pokemon, but if you don't know, like, I don't even remember what Ultra Necrozma is. It's like Dragon... Oh, gosh, it's like Dragon something. I can't even remember what... It's like Dragon Psychic, I think?
That seems appropriate.
So off the top of my head, I don't even know what would be like four times effective. Dragon is weak to Dragon. Psychic doesn't resist Dragon. Anyways,
Dragon's weak to Ice.
Dragon's weak to Ice. Dragon's weak to Fairy. I don't think Psychic doesn't resist Fairy. So even if Ultra Necrozma was level 100 and it had perfect IVs and EVs, you can still beat it with a level 26 Basculin. I did it. Because I just understand how Pokemon works. I just Focus Sash the Basculin, Endured, Retaliated, Aqua Jet. Okay, cool. It didn't matter what moves it knew. It didn't matter what stats it were. I just think the like newer Pokemon games are too easy kind of misses the whole fact that...
they were always too easy.
Right. It misses the fact they were always easy and the fact that like most times you lose, even in like competitive Pokemon, which I've done a lot of this weekend, most of the times I lost wasn't because I didn't understand Pokemon. It was because I was surprised with something. And I think the most, in our Slack community, a lot of people said they lost a Rayhan for the first time because they were like, oh, a dragon type person. I'm going to bring these Pokemon. And Rayhan doesn't use a lot of dragons. And if you don't know what Duraludon does, Duraludon is very powerful if you don't do that. So I think... Maybe, I guess, what people are actually asking for is I want the game to surprise me more with, like, just these one-off gimmicks. But once you learn the gimmick, that's the thing, though, is, like, once I knew Jolteon had Shadow Ball, I go, oh, well, that Jolteon probably has Shadow Ball. So the second time I fight it, I kind of know what to expect now. Also, Jolteon learned Shadow Ball, just a fun fact.
I mean, I think what people want is more surprises. But... I think where a lot of the arguments break down is, and I've said this multiple times, and I'll say this on the show, they want to relive the experience they had as a child, and you can never do that as an adult.
Yeah.
You can never go back. You have too much experience to be completely surprised by something like you were as a kid. Nothing is new anymore once you become an adult. And it's very hard to go back and say, well, when I was 10... That game seems so hard. Well, yeah, because you were 10. Like, your brain hadn't fully formed yet. You can't keep judging games based off of how they were when you were a child. Because you didn't have an accurate view of what that game actually was like. And you can't go back and play it again now because you are prepared for that game. And it will be a completely different experience. And you will allow, most people will allow nostalgia to override a lot of what the flaws are. But trust me, as a person who approached it at age 28, those games were easy and they always have been easy. Difficulty is not why I'm playing Pokemon.
Why are you playing Pokemon?
For like a million other reasons. Collecting, breeding,
I also don't
my friends.
Really understand people. So when people are like, I want Pokemon to be hard... I mean, I guess maybe you could have harder puzzles in the gyms.
I mean, I think when they say, if anybody asks, I want it to be hard, they need to define what hard means for them. Because more hard is just who knows what you mean? Who knows what you find too easy? Who knows what you want to actually be more hard? Is it catching? Do you want catching to be more frustrating? Do you want a Nuzlocke type thing where you can't use them after they knocked out? Like, you need to define what hard is.
Right. Because I just don't get where, like, if somebody is, like, disappointed in how challenging the gym leaders are, the Elite Four or the Rival, it's like, those people that complain also just don't seem to be the same people that are interested in competitive after the fact. And, like, the ladder and the Battle Tower. Like, I've done Battle Tower tons of times in Sword and Shield, and sometimes I just lose. Not because I don't understand, but because yeah. sometimes the computer is just like, oh, they just quick clawed Fissure. Okay, well, I guess and I'm dead. Had- Okay, yeah. But I get that a lot in the Twitch stream where people come in and they'll be like, I wish Pokemon games were harder. And I was like, do you do competitive? And they're like, no, I don't want to play against real people. I was like, oh.
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 Yeah, see, that's just the thing.
Then what, like, do you want? I don't know.
What, like, is harder? I mean, it is so hard to determine difficulty in an RPG because the main thing of an RPG is to tell you the story.
Yep.
And difficulty is secondary to that. Now, if you want an action game, then there are ways to make action games difficult, but that's usually timing and dexterity stuff, which makes it a very different game. Like, even people say, oh, if it was real time. Well, you have a real time game in Pokemon Masters, and you don't like it.
Well, not that, like, real time, Greg.
It's mostly real time. Yeah, so, like, what is hard? Because this has never been that game. They have never been difficult games. Not once.
I will say getting 100 wins in a row in Battle Tower in Sun and Moon, Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, was, for me, very hard.
Well, yeah, there are... Competitive can be very difficult, and they've built in, like, if I remember correctly, the trees also learned how you were playing the game and what your team could do, and ratcheted up the people who came out based off of that information. So that was built into the game. And if you're saying all the gyms should do that, then gyms can't be type-based. Because Battle Tree isn't type-based.
I also don't love the argument of, like, well, if they get rid of type-based gyms, it becomes harder. Because, like, that's what your rival check is for.
Yeah. I mean, you have a rival who does that. You had N who did it.
Yeah. Will, Pokemon of the Week.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Let's see. What did we have for last week's Pokemon of the Week?
I don't know.
You didn't get the answer? You didn't figure it out?
Give me the clues again.
So the previous week's Pokemon could be identified by just one letter. This week's Psychic-type Pokemon is represented by every letter and some punctuation. And... Galarian, if you look at the Galarian alphabet, it does not look like this Pokemon because this Pokemon does not exist in Galar. And I would say the other clue was that it's not that exciting of a Pokemon in the traditional games, but in Pokemon Go, boy, oh boy, people are looking to get these guys. So there you go. There's your clues.
It's...
Feebas.
Feebas isn't even in Pokemon Go yet. Wait, yeah, it is.
Yes, it is.
Oh, you said, right. People are looking to get these guys, and no one wants Feebas in Pokemon Go.
I've seen a lot of people on my friend list that have the shiny Feebas, and they're walking with their shiny Feebas.
That's the only way to evolve it, though. You got to walk it.
It's unknown.
Yes. It is the alphabet Pokemon, or whatever it's... I don't know what its name is, what it's... typing is.
The symbol Pokemon.
Psychic. The symbol. Okay. There you go.
With a decent
that's
shiny.
What letters are symbols.
I'm sort of bummed that in Spell of the Unknown, there are a bunch that were like Greek alphabet letter unknowns, and those have never appeared in the games.
Yeah, and they never will.
Yeah, wait for the Gen 9 in Greece.
In Greece? Ooh! There we go.
You want to know what's more useless than a hat Pokemon in Pokemon Go? Unknown.
I mean, eventually I'll have all the ones to spell my name.
How many letters do they have out?
26 letters and then the exclamation and the...
Are they all out in Pokemon Go?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are they?
Because when they first came out, it was just like P-A-X.
Yeah,
that's no. They do. They'll do. Every unknown can spawn in the wild, but only one unknown spawns every 20 minutes in the game. So it's only one location at a time.
In the world?
Yes.
In the world?
In the world. Somebody like data mined it.
It can be any of the 26 letters.
Yes.
Anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world, but once every 20 minutes.
That is some rare Pokemon right
that
there.
That is messed up.
I can't figure out how they calculated it. And it's not obviously an official source, but it's because they were able to figure out. I mean, it's like a spoofer thing, right? Because you can spoof to any Pokestop and like look. But based on like the ratio and unknown being one of the rare spawns, and based on how many Pokestops there are in the world, it was it can only spawn at one Pokestop at a time if there's not an event.
Intriguing.
Could be different though. Since they turned it shiny, or they made some of them shiny this year.
And the shiny is kind of dull.
It's blue.
Yeah. I do like the the question mark shuffle icon, I think, is my favorite.
It's a good one. It's cute.
Unknown.
It's also looking at you like real sarcastically.
Yeah, exactly.
Unknown is currently represented in the trading card game by the most cards of any Pokemon after Pikachu with a unique 90 different cards.
Yeah, that's even better than Charizard.
Unknown was the only Generation 2 Pokemon not to be featured in the Pokemon Ranger series.
Yeah, disappointing.
Despite Unknown being able to use TM-10 in Generation 6 and 7, it still cannot do so legitimately because it will already know Hidden Power. Two main official artwork for Unknown represents a G for gold and silver and an F for ruby and sapphire, which may allude to the acronym Game Freak. The other trivia is not as exciting.
True. All right, you ready for this week?
Yeah.
It is a quiz. I hope you guys studied. It's a pop quiz, as we used to call it. I don't think they call them a pop quiz anymore.
I don't think. Are they surprise quizzes now?
We have to not be cruel to the kids and they have to be able to handle what we throw at them ahead of time. Either way, this week's Pokemon of the Week quiz. Question one. Which of the following types has been represented by only one starting Pokemon evolution? A, Fighting. B, Steel. C, Ground. D, Dragon. Question 2. Which of the following types has been represented by only one starting Pokemon evolution? A, Poison. B, Dark. C, Rock. D, Ghost. Question 3. Which of the following phrases is a mispronunciation of a phrase meaning to give specific focus? A,
I can't keep a straight face.
A, Horcapus.
It's A. A is
B, House cleaning. C, Hone in. D, Shine a light on. 4. In fencing, the phrase on guard means the opposite of the Pokemon ability, Wonder Guard, No Guard, Magic Guard, Friend Guard. 5. The following anime character used this week's Pokemon in an episode before evolving it. A, Sawyer. B, Ash. C,
Horcapus. C.
D, Serena. I wanted to. Oh, man. Oh. Well, there you go. If you can get the correct answers to all 5 of those questions, you will have enough information to figure out who's this week's Pokemon of the Week.
You are defo going to need to post those.
Yeah, I will. Horcapus, Horcapus.
I forgot to say this at the start of the show, but we are still doing a giveaway for a Nintendo Switch Lite and a copy of Pokemon Sword or Pokemon Shield. That will be in the show notes. If you want to enter, pretty much just follow Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. Everything, twitch.tv/PKMNcast for Twitch, Instagram.com/PKMNcast, Twitter, PKMNcast. Reddit is r/supereffective, though. Cannot change the name, but it's all good. You need a Reddit community. I think that's it. Greg is at White Wing. Will is at Washing the Sink. I'm at Dragging a Lake. I guess we will. Oh, actually, the last thing is, I think on Wednesday we'll find out if we won the podcast awards. I'm not 100% sure how that works. Besides, I think they just, I don't think they tell anyone ahead of time. I think everyone just finds out live, because I think they're live streaming the award ceremony.
Uh-huh.
Not that anyone could do much after that first month, because it was like people voted and then they randomly picked 5,000 people to vote again. It was very weird.
Yep.
So I don't 100% know. But if we win, cool. Very exciting. If we don't win, still a shout out to everyone who took time to vote for us. Still nice. But we will be back next week. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective.
Super trademarked.
Thank you for listening to another episode of It's Super Effective. A shout out to our producers this episode: Kevin, Casey, Liam, Patrick, Jetsy, Matthew, Kay, Catherine, Steph, and Courtney. And a shout out to our executive producers of Spencer and Anthony. Thank you guys so much for supporting the show. If you too want to support this podcast, you can head over to patreon.com/itssupereffective, or you can just head to ise.cash and you can support us as well. Thank you so much for listening. We will see you next week.